Amen. How we doing?
Good.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, while you're turning there, I have to admit I had a little bit of apprehension going into Falls Creek week with no youth pastor. All right, and when Landon had told me his plans, my hope was that he would have stayed through the summer, but God just seems to work things out differently. I think maybe in this instance to remind me that he does not need any of us to make things work. Okay, we had an exceptional week, and I know that Mickey did a great job as our interim youth pastor. Our youth workers did an excellent job, and when the week had finally ended, we had 22 from our cabin pray to receive Christ, which was exceptional. Really excited about that. We had four others express a call, answer a call to special services, missions, pastoral ministry, maybe some that are going to one day marry a pastor. And though you don't know all details, you just know that your heart is being called and being pulled in a direction. And that was pretty incredible too. But I want to point out that whenever we talk about a call to ministry, we do understand that God does call some to full-time vocational ministry. We get that. We get that God calls people to lead the church, to equip the saints for ministry. But I always want to point out whenever we talk about a calling to ministry that every one of us, if we are believers, we are called to ministry. That the call... the call to salvation is also a call to missions, that those two happen instantaneously for those who say yes to salvation. Whenever Jesus called his first disciples, he called them to himself. And he said, follow me, that's the call to salvation, and I will make you fishers of men. That's the call to missions, and we all share that. And what we're talking about this morning is a specific calling. I believe that God has called every one of us to a specific task, and that task is to build up the church, and that is to see other people come to know the Lord, and it's not going to be the same person to person, but they are all going to share those characteristics. And so this morning, one point, I know that you like the one-point sermons because you think that we're going to get through a little quicker, and maybe we will. But it's easier to remember whenever we have just one point. And so this morning what we're talking about is a specific calling that God puts on every believer. You know, whenever Christ saved me at age 7, he put me in his army, so to speak. I remember singing about that age that I'm in the Lord's army. I remember singing that as a child. Many of you probably remember that song. I'm not going to sing it to you because I'll probably mess it up and you probably don't want to hear it. But I remember the call to salvation. And then at age 14, I remember very specifically, God had been stirring in my heart, had been moving in my heart over the course of several months, and I didn't know what he was leading me to do. All I knew is that it was something. And at age 14, while at Falls Creek, God made it clear that I was to give my life to vocational ministry. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I went home immediately and began as a 14-year-old being a substitute teacher in my Sunday school class. So when my teacher was gone, I'd fill in. I filled in some whenever our music director was gone. Preached my first sermon at 16. At 18, started a praise and worship band. At 19, went into part-time youth ministry. Then a little bit past that into pastoral ministry. And God has moved from place to place. He has moved me and my family from place to place, from time to time. But the calling has always been the same, and that's to Him. All right, and to do something incredible for Him. And each and every one of us, we have a specific calling. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look in Luke chapter 9 and we're going to see a very specific calling that God places, that Jesus places upon His disciples to go out and do a very specific task. And we're going to look at that this morning. You guys with me?
Yes.
All right. In Luke chapter 9, He gives them specific instructions. Later in Luke chapter 22, He's going to tweak those instructions and He's going to refer back to this. But for Luke chapter 9, it's a very specific calling for a very specific group of people to accomplish a very specific task. And so Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, we're going to see this specific calling. Verse 1, He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Now this should sound a little bit familiar to us, because last week we saw that Jesus did the exact same thing He's asking His disciples to do. Remember, last week we saw that He was Lord over the disasters that we face, and He's Lord over the demonic, and He's Lord over disease, and He's Lord over death. We saw that last week as Jesus healed and He did miracles. Well, this week He's extending His power and authority into the life of His disciples, which, by the way, that should give us some encouragement when thinking about the calling that He places on us, because if He calls us to something, He's going to equip us and He's going to extend His power and authority so that we're able to accomplish whatever it is that He has called us to do. Jesus, and in these two verses, we see all throughout Scripture that Jesus seems to have a heart and seems to be drawn towards those who are sick. In fact, last week we saw that as He healed the lady who had the discharge of blood for multiple years. And here He is giving that same authority to cure the diseases for the disciples. He's extending that into them. And there's two main healings that we need, that you and I face throughout life. One is the need for physical health, right? How many times have we or a loved one battled some sort of sickness, or maybe it's cancer, or maybe it's fatigue, and so many of us come in need of a physical healing. We have a physical ailment, but the physical side of things is not the only healing that we sometimes need. Let me speak to just a second to the emotional side of things. One of the great challenges that our society, that our culture faces, is the issue of mental health. All right, like, how many times have we found ourselves not just in a moment of emotional upheaval, but really a season or maybe a lifetime of anger, of anxiety, of depression, of the brokenness, maybe of family brokenness, maybe of marriage, maybe of friendships, and that these things, this emotional side of things, have left us scarred. It's something that sometimes goes undiagnosed because you can't really see an ailment on the surface. It's more internally. There are reasons that. That we sort of go through this anger or anxiety or depression. And listen, sometimes it is a physical, hormonal deficiency that we face these things. But listen, for many of us, the reason we walk in anger or anxiety or depression or brokenness, bearing scars, for many of us, many times it's that we try to live life apart from God's Word. And we tend to take on my way about life. And so it's my way about marriage, or it's my way about relationships. I know God addresses it in Scripture, but I'm going to do it my way. Or it's my way about sex, or it's my way about parenting, or it's my way about work, or it's my way about my money. And listen, we can fill in the blanks of the things that we as believers, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about us as believers, we chase after all sorts of other things, and God says, this is how I've designed it. He has placed it in His Word. He's designed it a certain way. And when we chase after other things as believers, a lot of these things start to creep into our lives. In fact, your Sunday school lesson today, your small group lesson, is going to deal with Solomon in Ecclesiastes as he chases after all these things, thinking that he'll find satisfaction, but never finding it. We are a hard-pressed, overwhelmed society that chases after all sorts of things that leaves us in a place of need of healing. Can I tell you that God is in the middle of the alcoholic who has turned to that to try to fill a void? He's in the middle of the guy who chases after pornography, trying to fill a void. The guy that chases after substances or work or pursuits of possessions and money. God's in the middle of that person, wooing them, drawing them, showing them that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you and I are called to get in the middle of the mess and walk with people, pointing them to Christ. See, this specific calling here for the disciples, for the apostles, was one to heal. But if you also notice in verse 1 and 2, it's not just to heal, but it is to proclaim the gospel. You see, those two things go hand in hand. We've talked a lot about earning the right to share the gospel. That you and I, that we can't just live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, and we can't just speak of His goodness. We have to be doing the same thing. That's the calling that He's placing on the life of the apostles, that when they serve, whether it be casting out a demon or curing a disease, all that is for them to be able to proclaim the gospel and to give validity to the Lord who is the way, the truth, and the life. We sound kind of foolish sometimes when we say, I'm a Christ follower. The Lord is my all. He's my all in all. Yet we walk with a lack of joy. I love the Lord. I'm His follower. But I just don't really follow Him. That's so confusing to people. And the reason that the apostles have this specific calling, the reason you have a specific calling and I have a specific calling, is to be able to serve people, to earn the right to share the gospel, so that we can proclaim the good news of the gospel to them, where they can come to know the Lord, the only one that can set them free from sin. Look at verse 3. Look at how this begins to play out, this specific calling. Verse 3, He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. I mean, I love how specific Christ gets with His disciples as He is calling them and telling them to go do these things. You know, we went to Falls Creek this week, and Randy and myself, we have two very different ways that we pack for trips, okay? Like Randy, she'll start like a day or two before, and so it was just me and Evan and Allie, we were the only ones that went, and so she gets their bags out, and I swear to you that they hung up more clean clothes than they brought back dirty clothes, all right? Randy, I don't know if like she's planning for every season, fall, spring, winter, summer while they're there. I don't know if she's expecting them to go to a funeral, you know, maybe a wedding just in case. And so she like throws every possible thing that they may need on the trip. Hey, here's what I do. I get my backpack and whatever I can fit inside, I'll stuff in. All right, I'll call ahead and make sure they have an iron, because by the time I get there, it's going to be all smashed. But I have probably spent more trips to Dollar General or Walmart getting things that I forgot than just, you know, being able to enjoy the trip with everything that I need. I love how specific the calling is. Jesus tells them what to pack. He is so specific and He is so instructive in the way that He has called them and the task that they have. He is so specific that He tells them what to pack and not to pack on the journey. He's indicating that for this specific calling, for this specific task, He is going to provide for them all along the way. Now again, later when we get to the book of Luke, He's going to say, hey, you remember that time I told y'all not to pack a tunic? Do it this time. Remember when I told you not to pack any food? Do it this time. Like everything that God calls us to do, every task that He calls us to do, He is specific in leading us every step of the way, making sure that we have what we need for that very moment. And listen, whenever I was 14, I had no idea that at age 36 I'd be here leading you, being your pastor. Like, I think that if God would have given me the whole picture, every piece of the puzzle way back then, it probably would have been overwhelming to me to even think about. But listen, whatever He's called you to do, whatever specifically He's called you to do, He will provide and give you what you need for every step of the way. We just sang that His word is it's that light unto my path. Now you think about a light, a candlelight, which is what they would have had back then, a little torch. It wouldn't have projected way far in front. It would have just shown one step at a time. And the calling that Christ has for you is so specific. He gives you what you need every step of the way. Have you ever taken time to consider why you live in Skiatook 2019? Why you live in the neighborhood that you live in, the job that you have? Have you ever taken time to consider that? If you have, you've probably thought, well, because I worked really hard to get this job. I worked really hard to get this house. I didn't want to be in Tulsa. I wanted to be on the outskirts of the metropolitan area. I wanted to be close to the lake. And so we start thinking about all these reasons we are why we're where we're at. But can I tell you that the book of Acts talks about how God has predetermined where we'd be. He's predetermined the boundaries in which we live, the time period in which we live, so that He could use us to advance the gospel and men and women, boys and girls would come to know Him. Can I encourage you to just take a moment to dream in ways that are consistent with the calling that Christ has placed on your life? I mean, think about your kids or grandkids. Can you dream big for them? Because see, my dream for my kids is not that they'll be valedictorian or all state or even make the team, but that their lives would be wasted advancing the gospel. That sounds so strange, but you know that there is no waste when thinking in terms of advancing the gospel. I'm not going to go in as much detail because they're going to be here later, but Evan, he's really smart. He may be, what if he's the president of one of our seminaries one of these days that shape young men and women to go out and pastor churches and advance the gospel? And God has just wired him differently than he has me, differently than most kids I've known. Allie, she's like... she's got this strong will, like this passion about her, and I'll just put that mildly, that half the time we're trying to keep her on a leash and keep from strangling her. And we're trying to shape that in a way because we know that one of these days, God's going to use her and that will He's given her. Catherine, I want her so bad to be able to testify of God's goodness with her own mouth. The little ones are still developing, but maybe they'll be a missionary someday. And we won't see them much. Can we dream for our kids, for our grandkids? What about for our marriages? That you don't exist as a husband and wife just to have kids, or to share a house payment or a car payment, but that God gave us marriage so that He can show the world how He pursues us and how we're to relate to Him and He to us. And that when our marriages reflect that, that it's not just about our own joy, but it's about others seeing Christ and being attracted to Him. Can we dream big for our work? that we haven't been just placed there so that we can afford health insurance, or so that one day we can afford retirement. But we've been placed in a vacuum where men and women desperately need to hear about Him and know Him. And they see you every day. Maybe they know you claim to be a Christian. Maybe they have no idea. Are you wasting that? What about our schools? One of my biggest regrets is wasting time in school. But there are so many boys and girls, so many of my classmates that needed to know the Lord at a time where they were able and willing to be shaped. And I wasted lots of time not sharing the gospel, not living the gospel. I know if even one of you got serious about making every day about the gospel, I don't know that we could put a number on those that come to know the Lord this year. Can we dream big for our school? What about for our neighborhoods? Did it ever occur to us that we could be a hub, that our home in our neighborhood could be a hub? That whenever tragedy struck, no matter who was in our neighborhood, that they knew that that would be a place that sought the Lord and could pray and could help. What if our neighborhoods, what if we lived as missionaries in our neighborhood, connecting people to Jesus, connecting people to the church? What could Christ do in our neighborhoods? What if we lived life? What if we lived our life in light of a specific calling? What if we saw our role as Christians was that my calling is to connect someone to Jesus? And whenever I do that, I'm going to let my group know what I'm doing, my small group know, and they're going to pray for me, and they're going to help me, and we're going to serve them together, and then we're going to let the church know, and we're going to celebrate together. See, I think too many times we live opposite. I think as a church, we wait for the pastors to tell us what to do, to go out, that we're going to have a block party weekend, or we're going to have this, and y'all sit around just sort of waiting. What if it was opposite? What if you lived your life in light of the calling God has placed on you? And then you connected your group to it, and then the church was connected to it. Because that seems to be the way Christ has mapped it out in Scripture. That we have of a specific calling. Now, that He does give a warning here. Okay, because up to this point, hopefully what we're thinking is, could that be me? Could God have something specific for me to do in my neighborhood, in my family, in my marriage? And could He do something incredible in those areas in me? Like, hopefully that's the question. Well, He's going to give us a warning because I feel like whenever we don't succeed or people don't respond the way we want them to, I think maybe that's the way I should word it. If someone doesn't respond positively, we get discouraged and we quit. Well, look at the warning. He has thought of everything for us to live out our calling. Look at verse 5. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. I love how on one hand, Christ is voicing that we have a specific calling to accomplish incredible things. I love how He says that. And in the very next breath, He's going to say that some aren't going to want anything to do with you. Some will reject. But don't get discouraged. He's warning you. He's saying, I'm just ahead of time, I'm warning you, you will encounter some who are discouragement, who want nothing to do. Don't get discouraged. Look at verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? Listen, and he sought to see him. Now, later on in the book of Luke, he finally does see him, and that's after Christ has been arrested. And they send Christ before Herod to basically figure out what punishment he's going to get. And it said that Herod was pumped because Christ is here. And it goes on to say, we're going to see this later, it says all he wanted to see was a sign. And he mocked Jesus. If people will do the same to Jesus, listen, they'll do the same to us. And since when has that bothered us? I mean, we put what we believe or what we're for, what we're against on Facebook. Doesn't bother us. We make it very vocal who our favorite team is. I'll say I'm an OU fan. I'll say it in the OSU stadium, and I don't care if I offend everybody there. I mean, it's with politics. It's with all sorts of things. We don't care. Why do we use that as an excuse not to share Christ? He's warning us that might happen. And he's saying, hey, remember, you will suffer rejection. People will reject what you have to say. One of the most heartbreaking things that I've seen in student ministry is God call a young man or young woman to ministry or to total obedience, which, by the way, he calls us all to. They come home and they voice that to their church-going parents. God has called me to be a pastor. God has called me to be a missionary. And here's how a lot of times the church-going parents treat that. Son, we're so proud of you, but why don't you have this other backup plan just in case? Or you can send this guy to Africa or this guy to Asia, but don't take my kid. That's how we treat things. Rather, we don't fully embrace, as long as it fits into what we think our family should be and how we think it should be comfortable, we support. The parents, are you the biggest discouragement to your kids following the Lord? Jesus gives a specific calling. The calling is to Christ. This calling is a kingdom calling, and it's specific. But every one of us get one. Now, this just happens to be the apostles to go have authority over demons and to cure diseases. That was their calling. How do you know what your calling is? I talk to teenagers a lot. They say, If I just know what the will of God is for my life. I hear adults say this too. I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. And for teenagers, it's, does God want me to be a doctor? Does God want me to go to this college? Does God want me to marry this person? What is God's will for my life? How do we know what the will of God is for our lives? Well, church, can I tell you that it always begins and ends with the Word. Look at verse 1. It says, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now jump down to verse 6. So here's what they did with that. And they departed and went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Listen, the will of God for their life, the calling for their life, it started with God giving them a word. And it ended with them going out and doing what he said. You know, we sometimes wait for this little shiver to go down our spine before we're willing to do what God has already told us to do in his word. The will of God for your life and my life always begins with the word of God. They just did what it said. The apostles here, they just did what he told them to. My question is, will we? 4 years ago, this last April, I got a call from Mike Arp. I was sitting in my office, the Lord had been stirring in me for a couple of months, and the week before, the Lord really pressed on my heart to be ready to leave Sentinel. A week later, Mike Art called me, and it was almost like he's the chairman of the search committee here, the pastor search committee, and I almost just couldn't breathe for a second because I felt like it was happening. You know, I get calls from time to time from churches, from search teams, and that's not always alarming. And so I thought, well, maybe this is it, maybe it's not. And so my wife and I, we begin to seek the Word and seek what God was doing, and He began to show us from His Word what He felt like a church or what we felt like a church should look like based off what the Word said. That a church should desire this, and they should be walking in repentance, and they should have hearts for certain things. And so we sat down in a restaurant in Oklahoma City with the search team from here, and they slid a piece of paper across the table. It was almost like one of those deals where I thought, what are they doing? Are they writing an offer down or what? But what it was a piece of paper that Scott Phillips, the intentional interim, had led the church through, identifying areas where the church was sinful, the solution being repentance, and this is who God wants us to be. And for Randy and myself, it was in that moment that we were 99% sure that we were going to be the next pastor before we even answered a single question or asked a single question of the search team. And he confirmed that over and over. But listen, the reason he had led us and brought us to that place is because the Holy Spirit was stirring in a specific way, and the Word was affirming what the direction that we needed to go. And where the Spirit and the Word collide, the will of God is revealed. If you don't hear anything I say, if you haven't listened to anything, listen to this. What you do with this, as a believer, what you do with this will either breathe life into you or it will crush you. This breathes life when you read it. And like James says, you see your reflection in it like a mirror. When you see yourself how you really are, in those areas of sinfulness, you repent. We repent. And we become encouraged when we see we're on the right track. Listen, when we read this and we obey this, life is breathed into us and joy is breathed into us. When we neglect to read this or we neglect to do what it says, it's like a weight that crushes us, and there is no joy apart from living this out. There's no joy that will last apart from this. You'll find your specific calling for your life when day in, day out, you live in obedience to this. Will we read it? Will we do what it says? And listen, I understand because we haven't been discipled one-on-one with people. We've sat in Sunday school groups or we've sat under preaching. I understand that because we haven't sat one-on-one under solid discipleship, that many of us don't even know where to begin or to even know how. Listen, we are here, your staff is here to help you get started in this. We're here. We're here to help you find what the specific calling is that God has placed on your life. Listen, maybe this morning, maybe God is stirring in someone, and you know very specifically what God's calling you to do. Maybe you've been pushing something off, you've been fighting it, but you know deep down very specifically what God's calling you to do. Listen, maybe it's something like missions or vocational ministry, like pastoral ministry. Listen, maybe that's what God's calling you to. And listen, we want you to make that known, and we want to celebrate that as a church because we are a sending church. And we fully expect God to call more men and women from this place to go pastor and to serve on missions and to plant churches. We expect that. And so if God's calling you to do that, make that known so we can walk with you and encourage you and pray with you. But listen, maybe it's something not so earth-shattering where you pick up and you leave. Maybe what God's calling you to do is to be involved in Awana or to lead a small group, you know, or to commit to something very specific, maybe a ministry that we hadn't even started here yet. Can I encourage you to share that with someone today? Your small group is a perfect channel to share that with. And listen, small group leaders, if someone shares that with you, you help them. You help them get to be where they need to be, and we'll help you too. Here's what I found. I found that if I keep silent about what God's called me to do, that when sin rears its head and temptation shows itself, that I'll slip away and I won't walk in the calling. But if there's an accountability and people are praying over me and they're walking with me and they're expecting me to follow Christ, then I tend to do that much, much greater. So maybe God's called you to something specific. Let me encourage you to make it public. And listen, maybe God has called you to be saved today. That for the very first time, you're sensing in your spirit to turn from your life, to turn from your sins, and commit your life to following Christ. Listen, if He's calling you, we're going to pray in a second. We're going to sing a song of response. You come stand with me. I'll be right down here. If you sense God's calling you to be saved, there'll be men and women here to pray with you. Use this opportunity to say yes to Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your calling is specific. I thank you that your calling is for every believer. And God, I want to pray specifically now for the believer that's not walking in service, that's not walking in the calling you've placed upon them. God, I know their joy is not complete because you designed it a way for us to use our gifting, use our calling to build up the body and to reach people. And God, I'm convinced that there's some men and women here who have never understood the joy of living out a specific calling. God, maybe there's others here who haven't been in the Word or haven't been living the Word. And they've been trying to live life apart from that. Maybe they're feeling the weight of anxiety or depression or any of these things, and maybe it has nothing to do with a chemical imbalance. Maybe it has everything to do with trying to live life apart from the Word. You got to pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll lead them to repentance, that they'll say yes to you in this moment and know the joy, that joy of your salvation will be restored. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.